Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Can't be all you have. How many had a great week? Praise the name of the Lord. How many can tell me one of the benefits of praying out of your spirit? What else? If I heard you right, yeah. What's some things we've been teaching on the last 3 or 4 weeks? Anybody else? Hey, there it is. Okay, let's do it. Go back to Jude. Only one chapter. We're going to start with some teaching, and we may just move over into something rather different. I mean, like different. Yeah. I like different because then we're not stuck in a rut. Jude, verse 20, says, "You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Verse 21 says, "You keep yourself in the love of God." And what's the result of that? What does verse 24 say? "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand," everybody say, "make me stand." Make me stand. "In the presence of his glory," what's the next word? What's the next word? Blameless. Blameless. How many like to live blameless? Yeah. But how many like to think blameless too? Because yeah. That's what he's talking about here. You build yourself up on your most holy faith when you pray out of your spirit. You're keeping yourself in the love of God. As a result of keeping yourself in the love of God, he's able to make you stand in his presence, and you have no blame going on in your head. I mean, now we need to live there. Now go over to 1 Thessalonians. At some point, I'm going to ask that question, and you guys are going to be able to pop off the right answer. And then I'm going to say, "Give me some verses," and you're going to be able to give me the verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Rejoice sometimes." Is that what it says? Oh, always. Rejoice when you feel like it. Is that what it says? No. No, it says rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. He must be talking about praying out of your spirit. Because he told the church at Ephesus in Turkey, he says, pray in the spirit always, watching thereunto. So it must be something we're able to do. Pray in the spirit. He says here to the Greek church in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Everybody say, do not. Incidentally, a little commercial. October 30th to December 18th. We're still going to be in our series of Authentic Community, but I am going to be introducing a video series during the service time after our praise and worship called Prophetic Personalities. And there's basically four different ways people hear from God. What you're going to discover during this series is which one you are. Because a lot of times, you know, you're trying to hear like somebody else, and that may not be the way you hear. So you're going to discover how you hear. So this verse says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Why would you give thanks in everything? Not give thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. You know, the world's mindset is it's all good. Guess what? It's not all good. That's basically a statement where we just roll over and take it. It's not all good. But Paul said through the Spirit of God that one of the key elements of the new man is to be able to give thanks in everything. Keeps your focus right, keeps your attitude right. Keeps all the junk that's trying to barrel and load and bury you from getting on you. It's like basically, have you ever tried to, I know you probably haven't tried to do this, but have you ever tried to cram mud down a hose? Guess that when the hose is completely on, I knew you hadn't done that before, I just thought I'd ask. But you get a visual at least. You can't cram mud down a hose when the thing's on full blast. You're going to get wet and dirty. So this is basically telling you, keep the hose turned on. right? And everything, give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. And in fact, in verse 20, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians says, don't despise prophetic utterances. Hold fast to that which is good. How many of you ever had a prophetic utterance where it started off great and then somewhere along the way somebody shifted gears and now they were talking about, they were trying to direct you with their prophetic word, or they're trying to, thus saith the Lord, if you don't give me your cat, the Lord's going to strike you down. Maybe not like that, but you get the idea. This says, don't despise prophetic utterances just because some of those things would happen. People are just trying to develop. But you hold on to that which is good. Because Paul says this, through the Spirit of God, that everything that comes from the Spirit of God will always lift you and raise you up. It will always encourage you, build you up. So anything that comes prophetically, if it has that element to it, you know it's coming from the Spirit of God. If it doesn't build you up, lift you up, bring comfort and encouragement, then it's not coming from Him. It's amazing how the Scriptures really shows us how to discern what's from the Spirit of God and what's not, so we don't just open our mouths and say, give me it all, right? So he says, don't despise prophetic utterances, hold fast to that which is good. He says, now the God of peace Himself will set you apart entirely. Everybody say entirely. That means your spirit and your soul and your body will be preserved complete. What's the next two words? Without blame. So obviously we can see here that he's talking about praying out of your spirit. Can you see that? So the next time I ask, what's the number one benefit that we've talked about in the services as to what praying out of your spirit does, you're going to say, keeps you blameless. Jude said it. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians. And in fact, Ephesians 6 says, take the faith, the wraparound shield of faith. It's able to extinguish all the blazing arrows coming from you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. How many know part of that deliverance is getting you to the place in your life where you don't have to blame somebody else? You're going to get an amen. That means I don't want to hear anybody blaming the Republicans, blaming the Democrats, blaming this person, that person, blaming your wife, blaming your husband, blaming anything. We don't want to hear that mess in this church. It's not anybody's problem. It's not anybody's fault. Holy Spirit needs to get us to the place where we don't blame anybody. If you have to blame somebody, then you're not a clean vessel to pray from. Can I just say that again? If you can't not blame somebody, then you're not a clean vessel to pray from. Because everything you pray is going to be contaminated. That's why he needs us to come to the place where we allow, as this verse says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Part of that full deliverance is not just him coming to reside in your spirit, but he needs you to let him have your mind. And that means we don't blame people. Because why would he do that? He's already told you in his word that our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Right? So if we hang around him, we won't be blaming men and women. Going to get a louder amen than that. Amen. See, all of this has to do with authentic community. Why do we have so much challenges in local churches? It's because somebody didn't get this teaching. I grew up in church my whole life, and I didn't get anything about the Holy Spirit at all. But even when I came over into the full gospel, I never got this insight that praying out of your spirit actually gives the Spirit of God an ability not just to see you blameless. See, we've doctrinalized this thing to where we think all he's talking about is, I'm the righteousness of God. But guess what? The righteousness of God thinks a certain way too. Right? The righteousness of God doesn't blame. It's amazing if you'll analyze your thought processes and you'll analyze what you hear coming out of your mouth. Even when we pray, you'll find that there's a whole lot of this mess in there. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 9. And this is a prayer that you can pray over you. This is a prayer you can pray. Well, I'd start with you. You can pray it over your local church family. You can pray it over anybody, but you start with you. It says, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more. We'll read now the Passion Translation. I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows. Now, what is it going to happen when it overflows? Well, he tells you in this verse, and this came from the Spirit of God, it says it brings you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. Well, that's pretty cool. I was never taught that, you know, I was taught that you had to love people because, you know, that's the Christian thing to do. But I was never taught that part of the purpose of that love of God that's in you, when he gave you that nature upgrade and put himself in you, part of the process of that was to get you over to a place where you'll allow that love to develop to the point where that love will be a conduit to bring revelation. I never heard that before. But he's telling you that right here. He says, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in some things. Is that what it says? All things. And then notice this. And with this, with what? With the increase of love overflowing and bringing with it rich revelation and spiritual insight into all things, with this revelation will come to you to know God fully as he imparts to you the deepest understanding of his ways. Now we're on the subject of his ways. This, verse 10, will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all. What's the most excellent way of all? Becoming pure and without offense. So we've heard it from Jude. We heard it from Paul to the church in Greece. We heard it from Paul and the Holy Spirit to the church in Philippi. We heard it from Paul from the Holy Spirit to the church in Ephesus that is in Turkey. Isn't it amazing that all this is in your Bible? And yet we seem to struggle from decade after 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 decade, realizing what our origin should be. Let's go. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this. Paul said this to the Spirit of God. The one who speaks in a tongue advances his own spiritual progress. Why is it advancing your own spiritual progress? Because, according to Jude, according to Paul to the Philippians, according to Paul to the Ephesians, according to Paul to the Philippians again, when you pray out of your spirit, it keeps you in the love of God. It keeps the love of God flowing, increasing. And with that, it becomes a conduit for revelation to flow behind it to give you insight into all things. So that you learn his ways, and oh, by the way, his ways are, he doesn't have blame. He doesn't think blame. Can you see why he needs us to come to this place so that we'll actually pray out what's in his heart for our neighborhoods and our cities instead of what's in ours? I'm going to say it again. If we don't learn to pray blamelessly, we're contaminating the vessel to pray from. Go over to, let's look at Galatians real quick. Maybe that's where it is. Galatians is a fantastic book because he basically is talking about the contrast between the life that's lived out of your spirit with the Spirit of God in it versus a life that's lived out of the laws of your mind. Now, I know in the context, I get it, that he's talking about the Jewish law. But how many know, and we don't have time to go through this again, but every human being that's breathing lives by a law. The Spirit of God calls it the law of your mind. Paul brought that out. I believe it's in Romans chapter 2. He deals with it again in Romans chapter 7. But every human being lives out of the law of their mind. If we don't train ourselves to live out of our spirit with the Holy Spirit in there, letting him develop us in a blameless lifestyle and a blameless thought process is part of him circumcising you away from living out of the law of your mind. What he says over here in Galatians, and I'm just going to kind of cherry pick verses for the sake of time. In Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 19. He said, it was when I tried to obey law that I was condemned with a curse because I was not able to fulfill every single detail of it. Because the Messiah lives in me, I've now died to the law's dominion. You might as well take the word thee out of there and you might as well just call it, I've died to law's dominion over me so that I can live for God in heaven's freedom. And then he goes on to verse 20 and says, my old identity has been crucified with the Messiah. It no longer lives. It was nailed to the cross, crucified with him. The anointed one lives in me. Through me, we live in union as one. To live life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who lives so much that he gave himself for me, who loved me so much that he gave himself for me, and he dispensed his life into mine. So that's a level of living that I will bank on that most believers don't know, because they're still living in the dominion of law. You say, well, how can you say that? What's the filter that they use on whether they're going to associate with somebody or not? I'm not going to say you, because you can put yourself in there. But what is the filter that they use that will determine whether or not they're going to associate with somebody? You look at your life and you can answer that question for you. That filter is law. He didn't call us to live under that. Let's look at this. Chapter 3 of Galatians. And I could go in a number of directions here. I mean, I can go any direction in any book in the letters that Paul wrote, because it's all in every single book. But in Galatians 3... again, he's talking in the context of the Jewish law, but you can put it in the context of any kind of the law of your mind. Some Christians have a problem with somebody who's got an earring. Some people have a problem with some Christians have a problem with somebody. Okay, here we go. Let's test your filter. Some people have a problem associated with anybody who says they're a lesbian or a homosexual. You better trash can that filter right now, because that is the law of your mind. Your Bible says you've been set free from that. How about this time of year especially? It's rather amusing to watch. How about the political letter you carry behind your name? Guess what? That's a filter. Why'd you go and set that up for? He doesn't have one. If we divided this room up in, you can go ahead and put that picture on the wall. If we divided this room up into the zip code zone that we reside right in the middle of, 85254. And let's say behind the back row was Bell Road. In front of this, I'm sitting on Shea. Over to my left is Scottsdale Road, and down that aisle there is Tatum. And every one of these chairs is a house. I realize it's oversimplified, but I want you to stop and think about something. In every one of those houses is somebody you don't know. You don't know what political letter they have behind their name. You don't know what their lifestyle is. You don't know anything about those people. Now, how are you going to pray for them? If the first things that come out of your mouth come from your filter, stop praying, please, because you're contaminating the environment of the zip code. Let me tell you what should happen here. Now, I'm going to jump out of Galatians, go over to Philippians. See, we don't realize we're doing this, folks, but you need to become aware of it, and you need to ask the Spirit of God, help me to break this out of my life, because it's not helpful. Philippians chapter 1. You remember I told you some weeks ago that Jesus ever lives to give intercession? He's called the heir of the inheritance, but yet we see an example that he ever lives to give intercession, so he prays over his inheritance. And Ephesians chapter 6 says that when he opens his mouth, he's what he's praying over you is causing him to see you without spot or blemish, without wrinkle. He's seeing you blameless. Somebody says, well, you don't know my Uncle Todd. Yeah, he even sees him blameless. If anybody has an Uncle Todd, I'm not talking about him. That just came into my head. So he still sees him blameless. Isn't it amazing? We can isolate what we get on a Sunday morning, and then we walk out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Does it take a hold of our life? Does it control what we think? Does it control what we say? Are we keeping our vessel clean so that we can pray clean? Because we are supposed. How many agree we're supposed to be conduits for prayer in this city, for this city? That prayer book I gave you that we put together last week, I put it into a PDF and I actually sent it via email to everybody that I had an email address for. There's some folks I know probably didn't get it because I don't have your email address in the email that I sent it from. But anybody in this room, if you give them your phone number, they can send you it like right now. So that list now becomes of all the prayers that we find in the New Testament and all the prayers we brought out in the Book of Psalms that you can pray over your city, over your nation, over the nations, over Israel. You can even pray, you know, all those verses that we talked to, that we brought out in that. I don't know whether they call it a book or what it is, that we're over the nations to take a stand against terrorism. Did you know that we can pray those same thing over the inner cities in our cities? So there's so many applications, but the number one thing that we have got to come to the place is that we get rid of all of our filters. Because when we pray from there, from our filters, it's just not him, and there's zero power. But he wants us to pray from his vantage point with no filters, not under the dominion of the law of your mind. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, okay, let's just again say this room is the zip code of 85254. I'm standing in Shea. I'm glad there's no cars coming. Back is Bell. This is Scottsdale Road, and that's Tatum. If we're going to, and each one of these, maybe these are the streets that are in between. If we're going to walk and we're going to pray over the zip code, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, oh God, please help all the people all the guys that wear earrings, please help them to know that's not right. Am I praying from the Spirit of God or from my own filter? You better trash can that prayer right now. Oh God, please help all the ones that are lesbian and homosexual, please help them to know that that's wrong. Am I praying from the Spirit of God or am I praying from my own filter? Trash can that prayer right now. Oh God, please help all the ones that don't think right politically to think like me. The Spirit of God, or is that my filter? It's my filter. It's garbage. We've got to come to the place, folks, that we have a higher experience with God than just natural things. Did we know that there were so many people that had so many agendas that followed Jesus, and they were trying to steer him all the time? But he understood what his assignment was, and he resisted the urge to be owned. What did I tell you to do? Oh, I told you to Philippians. Well, Jesus is the inheritor. He's the heir of all inheritance, and he prays over his inheritance. And the result of that prayer is that he sees us without spot or wrinkle. And we talked about that verse that says that when you pray over your food, the word of God in prayer, that it does what? What does it do? It sets it apart. It sanctifies it. You sanctify your food with the word of God in prayer, right? So if your prayer life that's not run through filters causes things to be set apart, and Jesus is praying over his inheritance, what is he doing? He's causing it to be set apart. Remember what he said to Peter? This is before Peter was even the new man. He said, let me just tell you this, Peter, right now, that the enemy is trying to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Notice he didn't say, so I hope you don't totally screw it up. And he didn't say that. He has confidence in what he's praying because he knows when I'm praying for you that what I'm praying is causing you to be set apart from darkness. And when the dust settles, when you return, be a shepherd to my people. He didn't say if. So Jesus understands when he opens his mouth, he's causing the object of his prayer life to be set apart and set apart from darkness. What do you suppose we could do just in this zip code of 85254 if we could learn how to pray out of our spirit and with the word of God in prayer, not from your filters? I said Philippians, right? So he prays in verse 9 of chapter 1, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows, bringing you into a rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. With this revelation, you'll know God fully as he imparts to you the deepest understanding of his ways. Verse 10, this will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all. I'm going to say the most excellent way. So the most excellent way, we can learn to live in the most excellent way as new creation men and women. Or we can live in that which is right in your own eyes. And that way which is right in your own eyes could have been passed down from your mama, your mama's mama, your mama's 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 mama's. And oh, she was righteous. That doesn't mean it's the highest way. Did you hear what I just said? He wants us to be able to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ. Let me just tell you this, because I'm going to take you to another verse here in a minute in this chapter. But let me just tell you this. Have you ever stopped to think what causes people to be offended? Anybody want to take a guess? Go ahead. Yeah, that's pretty good. Anybody else want to? What is it? Why is the pride there? But there's a reason it's there. You're pretty close. Both of you are pretty close. Okay, anybody else? What is it? Selfish ambition. There's a reason that is there. Getting closer. I could see that. You want to know what the foundational reason why offense comes? Yeah. And all those other things you mentioned? Every one of them is a byproduct and an overcompensation for shame. This is the reason why Jesus said, take no offense. Because the origin of offense is shame. Now, my next question. Who told you you were supposed to be ashamed of whatever it is? Are you thinking? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we understand that the origin of everything that's offending is shame, then who told you it was supposed to be? You were supposed to be ashamed. See, the very first thing that showed up in the garden when Adam made the choice to take of the fruit. Number one, because he made that choice, he aligned himself up under the powers of darkness. And the very first thing that the powers of darkness did was do what? Made him ashamed. So when God shows up, he runs. And the Lord said, why are you where you are, Adam? Because I was afraid. I was ashamed. And the question that God asked him was, in the Hebrew, literally was this. Who is it that heaped this thing on your head so much to the degree that you became ashamed? I don't know why I got off on that, but it has to do with the whole issue of taking offense. It has to do with our filters. Your filters need to go away if you want to have any opportunity to be utilized by the Spirit of God, to pray out from the Spirit of God, his desires and his will for the human beings in this zip code of 85254. Because believe me, there is anybody and everybody you could imagine living in this zip code. There's anybody and everybody living in your zip code. Now look at this. Now in verse 9 again, he said, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows. The result of that overflow is it brings revelation, gives you insight into all things. And as a result of you having insight of all things, you'll know God fully and he'll impart unto you his deepest understanding of his ways. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way, which is living life with no filters in your mind. I said Jesus is a steward over his inheritance. He is inheritor of all things, but the Word of God also says that he made you a co-inheritor, right? Everybody say, I'm a co-heir. So if the heir prays over his inheritance to set it aside from darkness, to set it apart, and he has confidence in what he is praying, that it is doing that, he needs you to do the same thing because your feet are on the planet. Look what Paul said to the Philippian church in verse 19. Now, he's in prison, and he said, I have this dilemma. He said, I really would love, I know my importance here. I know I'm here. I mean, it's important for me to be here. He said, but I got a dilemma because I know it's important for me to be here, but man, I really want to just unhook and go so that I really step into the absolute fullness of Jesus. But notice how he says here in verse 19, chapter 1 of Philippians, he said, I know that everything that happens will bring me abundant life and a lavish supply. I know that everything that happens will bring me an abundant life and a lavish supply of the anointing of the Spirit of Jesus, the Anointed One. Why? What's it say? Your screen says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your what? Through your prayers. He says, through your prayers. How is he so confident in that? Because he understands the power of when you pray, things get set apart. Did you know your prayer life was that powerful? I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope. The Passion Translation says, I know that everything that happens will bring me abundant life and lavish supply of the anointing of the Spirit of Jesus, the Anointed One, all because of your intercession for me. Can you see why it's important for us to pray without filters? So what's the number one reason why it's important for us to pray out of our spirit? What keeps us and brings us into a position of being blameless? What does that look like in your life? That means you stop pointing out the problems in everybody else's. Did you hear what I just said? You stop pointing out the problems. You stop pointing out the deficiencies in everyone else's life. I know this isn't a real popular message, but you have a choice to make in your life. Either you want to experience more of God or you just want to play church. I'm not playing church because Jesus is a real individual. He's not just a word you find on a page of a book or you hear, you know, in a message. He's a real person. He has a vantage point that I want. Paul told the church at Rome, he said all things in verse 11, verse 36, chapter 11, verse 36, in Romans, he said all things come from him, through him, and to him. Therefore, chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pottered by the world system, the world society, the governments of the world. But be transformed or receive being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jump over to Ephesians. While you're being filled with the Spirit of God. Everybody say, filters, bye-bye. That's what that looks like. When we get together, folks, as a local church, the most popular thing to speak about will be, what is God doing in our midst? Are you listening to me right now? The most popular thing to speak about in our midst when we are together, I don't care if it's two people, three people, I don't care who it is. Just if you are part of this church, the most popular thing that you're going to learn to speak about, because it's what drives your life, it's what ramps you up, it's what brings a thrill to your soul, it is what God is doing through you, in your midst, in our midst as a people out there in the neighborhoods. So much so that, not that I'll have any issues talking about things, but so much so that that should be the number one go-to that we always go to. We brag about our daddy. Is that a challenge? Yeah, it is. But it's what you are wired for. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else is a red herring. Everything else is zero power, zero influence in the city. But he didn't call you to that. He called you to be fruitful. He said, I've called you to bear fruit and fruit that remains. First place we start is we learn how to live blameless life. That means we don't look in the mirror and have blame towards us. That doesn't mean you don't receive correction from the Spirit of God, but that's conviction. It won't have any condemnation there. But it also means you don't have any blame in your thought processes. You know, when I was younger, I'm done here pretty much, but when I was younger, when I got married, I was younger. I didn't know about this. And I used to, when things, if I can say this, hope this isn't offensive to somebody. When things sucked, I would blame my spouse. It's all your fault. You didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this, that, and the other. Or if my kids broke something, I'd blame them. It's your fault you broke it.
Actually, you left it down and he got a hold of it. So if you had to put it away, they wouldn't have got a hold of it.
Oh, okay. And I could go into a lot of different areas that I like to throw blame. It's that person that doesn't have the right political letter behind their name. It's all their fault. It's that president. It's that governor we have. It's that, fill in the blank, guys. If I don't have a right to meddle like this, then we're in the wrong church. Because I can walk out there and find any Christian, and they're in the same boat as everybody else. You're being challenged by the Spirit of God to live up to the high calling of Christ Jesus. Paul said, my goal and my drive is to accomplish the high calling of Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you don't have personal perspective. That's fine. Romans chapter 13, 14, and 15 is all for you. That's why in our series, An Authentic Community, we came out and said, we taught from those verses and we said that you don't hold your expectations over somebody else. Remember us teaching that? You know why now we taught that? It's because of this. We're all allowed to have our own perspectives. But the number one tool the enemy likes to use is division. And if he can use it in any facet of life, he's going to plant it and he's going to wedge. But we have a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Paul wrote to the church and he said, you need to guard the unity of the Spirit. Right? What does that mean? That means we don't live by our own filters. Everybody's welcome to have their own perspective. But it never leaves your mouth in the presence of somebody else. It doesn't come out in your prayer life, because that's not coming from him. Because the origin of that is there's blame and shame there somewhere, and we're not going to pray that over anybody. Are you hearing me? I mean, are you really hearing me? If we want to experience the greatest things that God has in his environment, we've got to learn to function where he is. Our prayer lives, we've got to learn to keep any strain of blame out of our prayer lives so we can, for this zip code, or any zip code that you're in, or any establishment that you're in, or any time you're in the presence of anybody out there, because we're not out there for us, we're out there for them. We're able to declare the will of the Lord over them, set up a canopy that sets them apart from darkness manhandling them, and watch the Spirit of God do what you're praying over them. This probably won't go down as the most popular message that I've ever taught at this church. Actually, it really wasn't what I was going to do today, but We went ahead and did this. But I hope you understand, number one, you understand my heart is right. Number two, you understand the seriousness of what I'm saying. Because first and foremost, he is the most important thing in our life. Him. Everybody say him. So let's allow ourselves to be adjusted, Spirit of God. And let's come to the place where the most exciting thing going on in our life is what he's doing, not something else. Amen? Do you want to know, I'll be done after I say this. Do you want to know why modern Christianity decided that its cause in life is going to be political arena? And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be involved, but you know what? You want to know why that they've chose that that's their number one call? Because it's the same group of folks that said God doesn't heal anymore, God doesn't do that anymore, there's no more signs and wonders, there's nothing else. So what else is there left to talk about? We have to fabricate something, we have to create a cause so we can exist. The cause already came from Jesus. It's these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you cast out demons, they'll leave. He already gave us our assignment. Not to say we don't have any right to be involved in anything else. I'm not saying that. Don't go over the ditch and say, well, Pastor Dan said, because I didn't. But that is not your high call. Do you want your high call or you just want to settle for something else? High call. Thank you. Because that's what you're wired for. You're wired for the high call. You know how Best Life Church is going to grow? We take on our high call. You do want this church to grow, right? Take on our high call and it'll grow. I hope you got something out of this. I hope it's something that you esteem worthy to put into your life and see it produce results. Because he's excited. He's taken us someplace. He wants to show us the fruit of when you walk a zip code, you start seeing the fruit. People start coming, people start drawing to you, and they're all from the zip code. And you realize, oh my gosh, I'm praying over this zip code. And you start realizing that all these folks are coming and it's fruit because of what you're praying. Then everything we've been teaching is no longer just doctrine or theology. You're actually seeing it being walked out and displayed before your very eyes. I mean, I know that creates excitement and makes you want to do it more. That's where he's trying to take us, folks. He's got a whole lot of experience that he wants to get over to us that's beyond the revelation that started it. Amen? Well, let's stand up. We're right on time. I want you to close your eyes and reach your hands to heaven. I'm gonna pray. what Paul prayed over the church at Ephesus. First in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed that the Father's light would flood your imagination. I'm going to know when the Father's light floods your imagination that all your filters get washed away. Father, my heart is full of thanks to God for these people. And I pray for them continually that you, the Father of glory, would unveil to them the riches of your spirit of wisdom. That you would unveil to them the riches of the spirit of revelation through the fullness of them being one with you. I pray that the light of God would illuminate their eyes of their imagination, flooding them with light until they experience the full revelation of your great hope of glory. I pray that they would explore and experience for themselves all of the riches of this wealth that you've freely given to all of them. My prayer is that in every moment they will experience the measureless power of you that's made available to them through faith, that their lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through them. And then, Lord, I pray for them that you would pour out over them the unlimited riches of your glory and favor until supernatural strength flooded their innermost being with your divine might and explosive power. That by constantly using their faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of them, and the resting place of your love will become the very source and root of their life, providing them with a secure foundation that grows and grows. And that as their spiritual strength increases, they'll be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences in great magnitude, the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is that love? How enduring and inclusive is it? Endless love beyond measure, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into them until they're filled to overflowing with the fullness of you. And now, Father, we offer to you all the glorious praise that rises not just from out of this church, but every local church in this city. And in every generation through Jesus Christ, all that will yet to be manifest through time and eternity. And everybody received that prayer and said, amen. Amen. I encourage you, if you don't have that scripture book that we put together, it's divided up into essentially, I think, four different areas of certain things highlighted in scriptures that you can pray over you, pray over your local church, pray over your city, pray over the pray and stand against terrorism in this nation, in other nations, in our inner cities. It's all the same mess. If you don't have one of those, just ask somebody and we'll send it to you on your phone so you can be mobile. But I encourage you to keep a journal and begin to pray these things any direction you felt led at any given point, and keep a journal and see what God does through your prayer life. I promise you there's a whole lot more happening than you're recognizing. Amen? Amen. Well, go have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.